702 podcasts are on 702.co.za.
So, ChatGPT, it's been around for some time now. Did you get into it? Are you using it properly, not to cheat? Because apparently it writes essays better than most people. I mean, you can put song ideas and then it'll write a song for you and a whole lot more. So let's chat about the future of the AI chatbot and the technology behind it. Let's bring in software engineer with Dariel Software, Sasha Slankamenek. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Sasha? Good morning.
Yes, very close. Thank you, James. Thanks for having me.
A good miss. Okay, so here we've had ChatGPT for some time now. How do you feel about it? What are you seeing happening with it?
So I personally use ChatGPT in my work. I had a problem that I was trying to solve. I was trying to write a piece of software, and I was faced with a blank screen, and so I went to the ChatGPT web interface, and I gave it my requirements, and it generated a program. Now, it turns out that the program was incorrect, but it helped me start the solution. So I am much more inclined to correct somebody else on the proposed solution that I have to come up with an original one myself. And so if I have a robot like ChatGPT that can prompt me with an incorrect solution, then that helps me do my work.
Could that be a problem, though? I mean, you take something from ChatGPT and you think it's correct because it's coming from this system. Could it lead you down the wrong path quite easily?
So having worked in the industry for 2 decades, I don't trust computers at all. So whatever they tell me, I will verify by doing my own research, by checking with my peers. And even then, after I come up with a revised solution of my own, I will give it to my peers to review my proposed solution. So it's not a problem for me, and I don't think it's a problem in general, because most people wouldn't be very trusting of a robot.
No, not yet. Okay, before we progress on what it can do and what to look out for and how to secure ourselves and all of that, give us a quick history of ChatGPT.
Sure. So ChatGPT, the GPT stands for a generative pre-trained transformer. And this is a family of language models, and they are something known as large language models. So they go back a number of years. Based off of something called the GPT family of products. So these things are in the realm of AI, mm-hmm. and GPT 1 was released in June of 2018 by OpenAI, and it had approximately 120 million parameters, and you can think of parameters as data points. As a way to train the model, or what we call an AI model. Then a year later, they released GPT-2, and they increased the number of parameters tenfold to 1.5 billion. And then a year after that, this is now June of 2020, they released GPT-3, and again, they increased the model a hundredfold this time to 175 billion parameters. And so the ChatGPT is currently working off of GPT 3.5, and the number of parameters is undisclosed. And that was released in November of last year. So it's been with us roughly now almost 6 months.
Okay, so how can it help enhance, say, jobs and industries rather than destroying it?
So it is a new technology, and it's a tool, and it helps automate and shortcut the process of coming up with new ideas. So somebody at Dario, one of my colleagues, it has uncovered a use where it can do speech writing in Afrikaans. Mm. So the neural network and the model is so broad that you can prompt it to sort of come up with these templates that people have been writing over and over. So in the case of speech writing for high schoolers, we've heard that speech a number of times. It is quite well established. So what we can do is we can use the technology like ChatGPT to generate those templates and speeches, and then have students who would otherwise generate those templates and speeches themselves use that as a starting point to say, hey, here is something that we already know. Here is something that we've already automated. Now apply yourself, apply your creativity, apply imagination, and use this startup speech to write a better speech, a more original speech, a more imaginative speech. And the same goes for any industry. So if you're writing brochures, ChatGPT can help you write a brochure that would otherwise take you a week in minutes. And then you can use that starting point to edit and come up with an even better brochure, for example.
Okay, so that's important that it's acknowledged. Okay, here we know what it's capable of. You take this and you improve. So it's a good way of pushing you on.
Yeah, exactly right.
And, you know, those who want to upskill, for example, how would they use this? And what are your views on continual learning in this sphere?
So I'm not sure if ChatGPT can shortcut the learning process. It won't necessarily assist you in learning new stuff. Mm. But you can learn how to use ChatGPT, right? So if you want to do something that you feel is out of your reach, so for instance, if you've never been a copywriter and you wanted to go into copywriting, you can open up a dialogue with ChatGPT and it can prompt you. It's almost like having a counselor, like an expert copywriter, and you can, in that dialogue mode, and people tend to learn better when they're in a conversation. Like, you know yourself, if you're talking to your grandparents or your parents, and they're giving you some guidance, it's a conversational learning experience. And people are not necessarily always available for those conversations, especially not subject matter experts on, I don't know, literature. Mm. So ChatGPT can fill that role and educate you through that dialogue process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, I totally get that. Okay, so it's important to know where it's used and how it can be used so we have a nice, healthy relationship with it. What does this mean? What sort of impact can it have on cybersecurity and digital security?
On private security and digital security?
Yeah.
Well, not much from what I've seen. Digital security is more around encryption. And around prime number mathematics computational stuff. So the number of computational cycles to crack a security encryption code is not really something that ChatGPT can help you with.
Mm. So it's more learning, it's more, well, hopefully advancing us in a nice, safe way. Where do you see this taking us in, say, the next, I don't know, 10 years?
So we're going to see more and more things like ChatGPT. So ChatGPT is just one example of the kind of technology that OpenAI is doing. So for instance, there's BioGPT, which specializes in biomedical content and works similarly to ChatGPT, except it's not a chatbot, it's a biobot. They also have, from last year in July, protein sequencing based off of GPT-2, which is now technically obsolete, but because GPT 3.5 is what they've released as their latest. However, until they swap the GPT version for the protein sequencing, you can do protein sequencing stuff using GPT-2, and it is a kind of a text-based processing. So we're going to see more and more of things like this to help us do the heavy computational stuff around a specific sphere, like in the biomedical sphere, for example.
Fascinating stuff. Sasha, very good to have you on the show. Thank you very much.